So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply. So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a little girl is all alone in seeing a ghost friend. When the adults initially dismiss this as an act of imagination, they soon realize that the ghost friend is all too real.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802, or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Email your audio file to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. We may use your story on a future episode of the program. You want all the free stuff, all of the extra stuff that comes along with supporting the show? Become an extra podcast person. We call them EPPs at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You'll get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book. Get the audiobook as well. It's a $30 value right there. It's free. It's all part of it. Plus, you get the bonus episodes every single week, brand new ones, almost 300 of them, and advanced episodes of the program, all commercial-free. For $5 a month. That's what supports the show. That's what keeps us on the air. Check it out over at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day, Carol?
You know, Tony, I'm not bad. How are you?
No, I'm not bad myself. Anything exciting in your world over the last week or so?
I went to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yay. Did you visit any haunted locations in Nashville, Tennessee?
I did not.
Oh.
I did go to the Ryman, which I kind of suspect is.
Yeah.
But I saw a show there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think you can't pick up on anything like that. But I did a backstage tour of the Ryman once, and I'm like, oh, there are so many ghosts in this place.
Yeah.
But it's great. I mean, like awesome ghosts,
mm-hmm.
like musical ghosts. Musician ghosts, you know, that's kind of cool.
Sure.
I'm sure there's some worker ghosts there. But it's such an amazing building.
Yeah.
So that's the only place I went that I would suspect is haunted.
There's that vibe all around Nashville. I mean, there's what's neat about Nashville is all to me is all the districts now that have been rehabilitated, mm-hmm. and some are fresh from the ground up new buildings. But
oh yeah, that whole city is soon to be completely gentrified.
Yeah, but there are areas where it was older structures that have been rehabilitated. Those are the ones that I like to try and guess. Like, what was this? What did this look like once? And you just know, you know, there's energy all around. around that city that is interesting. Just, you know, it's like, you know, L.A. to a certain extent where, you know, people go there with a lot of emotion, a lot of, you know, trying to make that dream come true. It's a city of dreams that come true and crushed dreams all at the same time.
And then the other side of that is so interesting is the historical, like Civil War era history, because they had like the Battle of Nashville right there. So then you've got all of that too. Mm-hmm. And there are a number of places around there that are so haunted. Like the Carter House. That's, I think, in Franklin. So, because usually when I go to visit my niece, we like to do one historical thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to do that this time. So we'll do like a Civil War thing and then the rest of us parties and music. But sure. At least we do like one thing. But it's a fascinating city.
It is. It really is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, but Real Ghost Stories Online. That might be a good city to do a live episode of the show at. We've been
starting. Oh my God, I'm so going there.
Yeah, we're starting to shoot ideas around. That would be fun. And now maybe we'll talk about that more here sometime this year.
You could even do it in Franklin.
Yeah.
Or you could research like some of those honky tonks on Lower Broadway that have been there forever, like Tootsie's, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe you could do it at the Ryman. I don't know. That would be hard. It'd be hard to get in there, though, because they're so busy.
It'd be interesting to find some place that has a history to it that would like, you know, some extra publicity of it, and we can fill their house, and they can make some money, and we can do a show. So I think it'd be a great place. And, Franklin is that's just south of Nashville. That's another great city that has I love their downtown. I love walking up and down the downtown there because it's so historic and it's been all rehabilitated, and it's beautiful. Anyway, that's a thought.
Franklin would be fun because my grandfather was in the Civil War. Mm-hmm. So we went there because he was in the Battle of Franklin.
Oh.
So we were able to go find out where he was in that battle, like how come he didn't die? Because so many people died.
Yeah.
And found out it was a 2 mile long line of soldiers and he was way at the back, so he went on to Nashville. He was in Franklin for a while, but went on to Nashville. So, like, talking to some of those people, because you know there's got to be so many ghosts associated with something like that. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking it's 7,000 soldiers died there.
Oh, my God.
It was a huge number.
And now it's just
lovely.
So
that would be a really interesting place to dig into that Civil War era.
Yeah.
And now Sign me up.
It's this lovely little town now. Oh, wow. I did not know that part of the history of it. I'm going to have to Wikipedia that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story. It says, hey, guys, my name's Lauren. I'm 22 years old, and I live in Newcastle upon Tyne in England, UK. Love the show and always listen to you at work and on the go. So to get into it, my experience of the paranormal was slight since growing up. My younger sister, who was 5 or 6 at the time, used to play with her friend, quote unquote, and talk to them in the garden on a trampoline and laugh and talk to them almost every single day. Only thing was, there was never anybody there. My parents put it down to her imaginary friend, but she'd always insist to me that she could see this little girl that she played with. Thing is, toys would move around her bedroom while we were in it, and without touching them, she'd insist it was her friend playing with them. This stopped when she turned about 11, and we disregarded it as a child's imagination. As I got older, I moved on to my parents' house at 18 and got a rented house with 3 friends, probably about an hour away from where my parents lived. It was exciting as I finally felt like I had some independence. The house was huge, about 6 bedrooms and 2 bathrooms with a large living room that you walked into from the front door. The house was always cold, even when we had the heating on, but we put that down to being an old house and even had the landlord check the heating for us. My bedroom was on the ground floor, and all the doors in the house were fire doors, so heavy to open and close shut. About a week after moving in, I and my other housemate realized strange things were happening. We were a house of smokers, and we used to smoke cigarettes out the front door nearest my bedroom. One evening, I and my housemate were sharing a cigarette when we heard something run past us and run up the stairs that were directly behind us, and then the bathroom door slammed. Startled, I made my housemate go check as I was worried. And we went up the stairs to look. No one was home but us, and no one was in the bathroom. Other strange occurrences happened throughout our 2 years there. The girl I lived with had a broken record player that needed to be plugged in to work. She lived on the top floor, which was the attack room. One night, her and her boyfriend awoke to the sound of one of her records playing on the record player, which was impossible to happen as it, number one, was not plugged in, and two, it didn't work even when plugged in. When she got up to check it, it stopped playing and has not worked since. Another instance, I was working as I used to work late, and my two housemates witnessed my bedroom door swing open and shut multiple times before it finally slammed closed. We had no windows open as it was winter, and I, like I previously mentioned, the doors in our house were fire doors, so incredibly heavy, and they do not swing open and shut on their own accord. We heard voices calling our names from upstairs, saw shadow people in the kitchen, and constantly heard something running up and down our stairs when we were all in our rooms trying to sleep. I'm incredibly interested in the paranormal, so I decided to do some research. The house we lived in was built pre-World War II and had been bombed during the war during an airstrike. The house was rebuilt, but allegedly the family inside had died due to the blast. We wondered if maybe the family could still be living in the house, or at least a member of their family. We never felt any negative energy in the house, and I was never frightened of going to sleep or behind or be in the house alone. In the end, we started talking to what we thought might be the family of ghosts living in our house. When we did, the lights would flicker. We'd hear laughing coming from the upstairs, which for some reason seemed to have the most activity. And other little things would happen which made us think they were listening. I then moved out a year ago and said a final goodbye to our extra housemates, as we called them and felt positive energy exert through me. It was bizarre. Anyways, I love the show and would love to hear this story on the air, as I'm a first-time writer. Have a good one, and love from the UK. A few extra housemates.
That was kind of spooky as shit, some of that. like hearing someone behind you go up the stairs, that's a very distinct sound. Mm-hmm. And then when you're just smoking, having a cigarette and chatting, and then you hear that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you mistook it for something else. Someone ran up the stairs. You heard it. And then, like, the little kid, the sibling with the toys that would move.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny. Well, we chalked it up as imagination or something. It's like, no, the toys were moving.
Yeah.
Chalk it up as weird stuff happening.
The thing is, when you're a kid and your other little kid friend tells you something that, you know, an adult mind would go, well, that's impossible. Almost everything is possible when you're a kid to a certain age. You know, it's like, oh, I didn't know that could do that. And you just think it's normal. And that's how that works. So I get where when she was a kid, she's thinking, oh, well, maybe she does see her. That's normal. Maybe some kids just do that. It's only as we get older that then we get told that that's impossible. That doesn't exist.
No, when we get older, we're told that we're bipolar.
That too, yeah.
Something.
There's
medical diagnosis for it when you get older.
Exactly. It's just, but then how do you explain? And it's not to say that stuff does not exist. That's certainly, you know, I believe there's probably more of that going on than there are actual straight up paranormal events. But I think the two can certainly coexist. It's just when you have the evidence there that then shows, this person said they're seeing these things. What's the difference? The objects around the house are being moved by something, and it's not them doing it. Yeah. It's like, so they're not crazy. This is happening to them. And
I do, you know, I've talked to so many people, like, in my personal life that have had ghost experiences, especially since they found out that I do the show with you.
Mm-hmm.
So people tell me all the time.
Yeah.
Ghost stories that have happened to them. And it's fascinating. These are people I know really well.
Yeah.
And they're not crazy that they saw something or saw something move in front of them, or, you know, it's just experiences that have happened to them.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where it's still unspoken for the most part. Everyone, I think everybody has somewhat of an interest in this topic, but to open up and say that you had an experience is still very much a kind of a taboo thing, or you have to be on the same page of knowing that this person will not think you're crazy if you talk
about
it. Right,
like with me.
Yep.
But then, like, in that house situation, I think it's, I've never been in a situation where I felt there was something else there. I had some weird stuff happen that I wasn't scared. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it would be like to be living in a house and be like, they're pretty friendly.
Yeah.
I think I would still be scared. I don't think I could, even if I researched it and, okay, well, the family died. It was a pretty horrific death. Mm-hmm. That I still would be really scared. I just would.
Yeah, I think it'd be difficult, even if they are peaceful and they're just kind of going about their business and they're letting you go about yours, just to like know that you're going to kind of bump into them, so to speak, from time to time and cross paths to a certain extent.
Yeah.
That just would not be settling. I'd be very unsettled by that in a house. One occupant at a time. No offense to them. They did have their time there, but now it's my time.
Yeah.
But
it might be kind of cool if I could wrap my brain around it and be like, hey, you're good, I'm good, we can all coexist here. But I'm not like that. I'm not wired like that. I'm like, you're scaring the shit out of me every single day.
Yeah.
You have to leave.
Yeah.
So hats off to anyone who can be like, you know, we got along. They weren't that scary.
It can be done. I think it just takes the right type of mindset and the right individual for that.
It takes someone way stronger than me.
it takes the certain type of mindset to do that. You know, it's like any sort of personality. It's like, well, that person over there, they're okay. You know, we get along okay. Then the next person, they're my best friend. They're awesome. It's like, okay, well, it's just personalities meshing and what you can and can't get, you know, what works for you, what meshes with you. And that's how it works with the dead, too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to share your real ghost story or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Let's go to another letter. It says, my grandmother was sick most of her life. She was diagnosed as a teenager with several life-threatening conditions. I have multiple memories of spending time with her in the hospital. She had several surgeries and spoke of one surgery where she coded on the table. She said when this happened, she was floating on the ceiling and watching the surgeons bring her back to life. While I was in high school, my grandmother had a kidney transplant. When she woke up after surgery, she too was not herself. She was not in a coma, but she was minimally responsive, barely opened her eyes, and would fight and scream if anyone tried to touch her. This went on for several weeks. One day, she just came out of it and was back to normal. When we asked her if she knew what happened or remembered anything since the transplant, she said the whole time she was awake, she said she thought she was sitting in one of the pews of her church. She could see all of us when we came to visit. We'd be sitting in the pews at the front of the church. She screamed and yelled for us, but we never answered. She said the whole time there were black, disfigured bodies crawling all over the floor and herself trying to pull her down. She said she screamed and begged us to help her, but we never did. Then she woke up. Her recalling this always stuck with me, just the look on her face and the way she spoke of this nightmare. Throughout my life, no matter how sick my grandmother was, she was at every game, play, and family function. She was the best grandmother you could have asked for. A few years after the transplant, my grandma's body had finally fought as much as it could. She wanted to make it for one last Christmas, and she did. She passed in the evening on Christmas Day. I've always been sensitive to the paranormal. I have several memories of seeing spirits as a child. It always terrified me until I had a close family member pass. After their passing, when I experienced paranormal events, it was not as scary because I knew some of them were my relatives. After my grandmother passed, there were several times I would smell her perfume randomly in the apartment. I could sense when she was around and it was coming. It has been 8 years since my grandma passed. I got engaged in 2016 as we were planning our wedding. I received a phone call from my mom one night. I should say as well that my mom is very skeptical. I was at an antique store looking for things for the wedding when she called me. My mom said, this might sound crazy, but your grandma came and talked to me in a dream last night and said to check the missing money website. She said she kept insisting that I check it and my mom needed to tell me to. I'd never heard of this website before, so I Googled it on my phone as Mom was explaining it to me. My mom kept saying she could not shake the dream and the feeling that she needed to tell me. So I found the website and entered my name, and sure enough, when I hit search, my name popped up saying I had unclaimed money. I was shocked. I went through the process of applying to get it back. When it was approved and returned to me, I found out it was money from Disney stock my grandma and grandpa had bought for me when I was born. At some point, the stock had been sold and they did not have updated contact information for me, so it had been sitting there for several years. This money paid for most of our wedding. Even through death, my grandma did not let that stop her from being a part of our wedding. This does not surprise me at all because that was the type of person that she was in life. Thank you for hearing my stories. I'll be writing in again in the future. Things like that. How do you write that off or just say,
God,
say that was a
dream? That's one of my favorite stories I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You know how I love those kind of stories about connecting with your relatives, you know, or your dad, your grandma.
Yeah.
But the fact that the mom had the dream and then she ends up having enough money to pay for the wedding.
Yeah.
Because the grandma came to the mom in a dream. That's amazing.
It is.
I love that one.
It makes me wonder, because then I start getting into the logistics of it. So why did she go to the mom and say, go to this website?
Well, because the daughter is busy wedding planning and the grandma probably couldn't get through. Because as women, our brains are so damn full of shit all the time. And if you're getting married, there's a million things. So maybe, and then the mom was a skeptic. So maybe it was her way of letting the mom know that some of that can be real.
Yeah.
I mean, not that every ghost story you hear is legit.
Sure.
But those are the stories I love the most.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so we were just talking about, I'd be scared if I'm living in a house with a dead family that was bombed in World War II.
Yeah.
But if it was like I felt my grandmother around and like I smelled her perfume from time to time, that to me is comforting.
Sure.
That I'd be fine with. Because I would think this is my grandma and she loves me.
Yeah.
And I think you would feel a love feeling rather than a scared to death feeling. Now, if my grandma's like shutting off the lights and interfering with my life, that would be different.
Yeah.
But just that grandmotherly love, I think that's beautiful.
It is. It is. Here's the situation for you for a house to grow up in. And we just talked about this on an episode it will be airing sometime this week. And I can get the name of it here in 1 second. A woman came up to us. We were at Target over the weekend and we were just back by patio furniture. And this woman just walks over. Are you Tony and Jenny Brewski? We're like, yeah, we're like, yep. It's like, oh, I listen to your show every day. and she lives in the area. And so we chatted for a little bit and she told me that she had all these great stories to share. And she talked to us about some of the stories in our own town. Cause I guess a trail of tears went right through Rogers. So Jen started like Googling that to make sure it wasn't in our backyard, and it wasn't. So we're good. But she had grown up overseas, I believe in Germany, for part of her childhood, and they are one of the places that she grew up in. One of the houses were barracks that were once occupied by Hitler's army, by Nazis, and then it had been converted into like military housing. And she told us some really interesting stories about what that was like. You can only imagine that sort of energy. that would just be horrible to deal with on a regular basis.
Are you going to get her on an episode?
Yeah, she called in and that aired on the episode called Sounds of the Past.
Okay.
So if you're here looking at the podcast, it either has just a previous episode or it's going to be popping up in a day or two. I don't know how this is going to fall in order of the week, but watch for that episode and you'll hear her story on there. It's really interesting. So
that's so random too, because you haven't lived there but what, 2 months?
Yeah, it happens every now and then, and I never know, you know, it makes me wonder sometimes how how often people do recognize but are afraid to come up. And I always say, you know, come say hi. I'm totally fine with that. Because I've had a couple times where I'm at a store and it's like you kind of get weird looks out of nowhere, or somebody like glances and then they like quickly look down, and it's just it's more than just I was looking at you. It was like, oh, this is weird. And then they move away. I don't know. I think it happens more times than not. You know, it was different.
It's Tony Bruschi and there are ghosts following him, I'm sure.
And it's weirder now because, you know, it's different. Like when I was in Wichita and it's local radio, it's easy. You know, a lot of people know you there. You know, you get it all the time, yes. You know, in that town. But it's different now when it's like almost any random town it could happen in. It's just like, well, this is weird, but it's fun.
I'm in Chicago and that guy is staring at me.
Yeah, it happens. It's weird, but it's cool. It's awesome to hear and see our audience all over the place. It's crazy. It's a crazy concept to me that we can be sitting here in our houses and this is, you know, where it goes out to. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to another caller. Hi.
Tony, my name is Jennifer from Long Island, New York. Just driving home, I have about an hour commute. I just recently started listening to podcasts in general. My daughter turned me on to it. She knows how much I like paranormal, supernatural, and most of our houses that we've lived in has always had some sort of presence or, you know, whatever is in it. I guess I've always been a little more sensitive from the time I was young. This story I've told to a few people years and years later. I'm 44 now. I was born in 1975. This had to happen probably in about 1980. My parents married very young, had me very young, so they didn't have the best marriage. When I was four, shortly after my brother was born, they had separated. There was a brief time where they had reconciled after being separated for about a year. It was very short-lived. So my father had moved out. Very, very shortly after he moved out, I had broke up. We were in an apartment, and the apartment's layout was pretty much my bedroom door was right off the dining room, and my mother's bedroom was pretty much on the other side of the house. So if it was nighttime and everybody was sleeping, she would have never heard me get up or heard my brother. So the one night I wake up, I don't know why, I was five, and I noticed hanging in my doorway was a sailor on a noose. And I wasn't afraid. And I had gotten up and he actually had come down from his noose. We would sit at the dining room table right by my bedroom door and talk about random things that you would talk to a child about, like if it was a relative or something like that, you know, how it was school, you know, various things like that. And the first time, I guess you could talk it up to a dream. This happened over the course of months where every night, I was five, I didn't know what time it was, but every night I would wake up to this man, this sailor, hanging from a noose in my doorway. And every night we would just sit and talk. And pretty much it went on for a while. And then we wound up, my mother met somebody else. They dated for a while. He wound up moving in, and I guess I kind of just forgot about this man. He didn't come to me anymore. So that was about it. So I never mentioned it to my mother. And come to find out, once I was in my teens, I had actually remembered about this man. Because come to find out, my father was adopted. He was adopted because his father was in the Marines. His mother was very young, and she wound up getting pregnant. Promise, love, or fiance, or whatever, had promised that right after the war, he would come back, or whatever it was, and or after his time in, he would come back and marry her. They would raise my father, you know, as a family and such. He completely went MIA. Nobody had any clue where he went. Nobody was found. So, I mean, thinking about it later on in life, you know, as a teenager, I kind of am thinking that that was my grandfather. You know, he had come to check in on me because, you know, my father, you know, wasn't doing what he was supposed to do as a father. And as, you know, as a grandparent may do, you know, step up and give the child the attention their child wasn't giving, you know, to that particular child. So that is my story. It would be cool if you put it on and I get a little feedback from it. I'm assuming this stuff is edited, so I don't know if I'm supposed to leave a name or a number, but my...
We'll stop it there. We don't need your name or your number, but thank you for that, sharing that story. That is one hell of a way to show back up to your grandchild on a noose.
Yeah. When she was telling the story and she got to the part about the grandmother got pregnant really young, the guy disappears. I'm like, of course he did. He was never intending to come back.
Yeah.
So that's where my brain was going. And possibly that could be it. I just think that's a terrifying way to come back to your grandchild.
Am I equating
this? Why would you have to be hanging there in a noose?
Am I equating this correctly? Is she saying that she believed the guy that was hanging on the noose that would get off the noose in her room, she believes was her grandfather trying to step up his game to be a good grandfather because the father went AWOL? Well, I guess it's a step up from, I don't know if it is a step up. At least he's like showing up.
He cares.
But still in a really fucked up way.
Really?
I think I could do without if I were to like look back at my childhood and go, would you rather have the hanging grandfather and the noose showing up because your dad went AWOL or just nobody at all from that side of the family?
Right.
I'd go with nobody at all.
That side of the family's got issues.
Yeah.
Because that's what I don't get. Like, how... I mean, I can totally buy into a ghost visiting you every night as a child. I can buy into that.
Yeah.
But why does it have to be a noose hanging there? Then he kind of...
pops down.
Got out of the noose? Or just, was he talking to her while he's hanging there? I think she said that he got out. But to me, like... why would you have to do that as a ghost? Why is that the thing?
That's bizarre.
So it seems to me the hanging guy was a thing, but why would you do that to a child? Wouldn't you be able to present yourself in a way that wouldn't be so freaky?
I think she's looking...
I've never been a ghost. I don't know.
You know, I think she's looking for answers as to that part of her family. And then when she discovered these things about her family's past, then she maybe automatically equated the ghostly experience was a family member. I don't know that that's the case.
I'm thinking it was somebody who killed themselves in that house by hanging.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason was sad and probably loved kids and was like looking over her because her own dad was so messed up.
Yeah.
Although I do like the idea of her grandfather showing back up.
I do too. I just don't
I like that idea, but I just don't get why he would show himself that way. So that's why it makes me think somebody hung themselves in the house.
No. I think it was someone else. I don't think it was her family member. I mean, I get her wanting it to be a family member that's going to be showing up and doing something, but I don't think that just doesn't seem right. that he would.
But it makes me think whoever that was someone who really did care about her.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't, I mean, you're showing up in a really freaky way.
Yeah.
But the fact that ghost seemed to really care about her.
It's like Beetlejuice-esque.
Kind of sweet, really, you know?
Yeah.
As long as it wasn't scaring the crap out of a 5-year-old, and it didn't seem to be.
And I don't know how that would, but maybe the child, you know, if you don't know what a noose is and you don't know what that action is of someone hanging there, maybe it looks more like a marionette than it does a man hanging. And then only later do you realize, oh, that's how people hang themselves. I don't know.
But it just seems to me if the grandfather was to show up there, that doesn't make sense why he would do it in that way.
Yeah. It's a very, very dark way of doing it. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, think?
Just a little, yeah.
I guess I'm going to scare the shit out of my granddaughter, but then I'm going to be really kind to her.
He showed up on fire with limbs falling off. It's like, oh, that's a little weird.
What are you about when you're little kids, like, you don't have that frame of reference.
Yeah.
So to a little kid, maybe they didn't realize that's scary. Like, hey, look at, they're just swinging.
Yeah, he's just hanging around, literally. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be in that vein. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's going to wrap up our program for today. Be sure to follow us on Instagram. I'm at Tony Bruschi, Bruesky. Carol is at Carol Hughes. And our show at Ghost Podcast on Instagram to follow us and all the stuff we put up. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.